Blog Talk Radio.
Testing. No, it's not in here. They're not letting me merge the calls. Wow, this is... White. Free conference call. The Blog Talk, I gotta see if Blog Talk's in here. It dropped it. Mark is calling. putting Blog Talk. Prayer line, dog. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm all right. I just woke up.
Oh, they're giving me such a hard time.
All right.
Yeah, and you have a lot of background noise, darling.
I do.
Yeah, if you can, darling. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. He said, how are you, darling? Do I get Blog Talk in here? I don't even know. If you're listening to Blog Talk, just bear with me. I'm having can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you're hearing me from the phone. They're messing with my number. Ann, can you? You can still hear me, right? Ann.
Yes, I can still hear you.
Okay,
I'll
just hope that I'm still on Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Yeah, I'm having technical difficulties. But okay, we're going to move forward. Let me see. Which line? Oh, it says this line is still here. But this line was dropped. Let me put a mute and see what happens. It won't even let me mute it because it's not here. Okay, I hope I'm in Blog Talk Radio. I have no way of telling. I should be in Talk Show. And we're going to get started. We're studying the Minor Prophets. Our Minor Prophet tonight. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to repeat this. Let me just do it right. Let's open up. Okay, we've done that. That was working. Talk Show. I need them to let me know if I'm in there. Okay, we're cross-streaming. Please bear with me. I'm having just a few technical difficulties, but we're moving forward. We're looking at our minor prophets that we're studying. We're looking at the book, The Prophet Nahum. I'll give a summary on Nahum, and then it's a very short story. Again, the minor prophets are called the minor prophets because their books are shorter than the longer prophets. It's not that they're any less, any minor. That's just the way it was written. Okay, God, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every participant, each and every listener, downloader. We thank you, God, for praying people, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for bringing us together, unified, God, seeking righteousness, Heavenly Father, seeking your coverage over our lives, over our bloodlines' lives. God, we just give you all the praise. We give you the glory. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We're able to see another week. We're moving forward, God. God, we see you opening the windows of heaven. Some of us have things that were not happening for us before. The windows of heaven are being opened, and God, we just thank you and we praise you, God. God, I'm moving into a realm, Heavenly Father, with the medical system. I bind up eugenics, genocide, plotting and planning, Heavenly Father, stalking, medical stalking, any type of medical errors under the disguise of eugenics under the disguise of medical errors. I bind it up. I plead the blood of Jesus on it. I ask you, God, for divine intervention. I bind up dark forces. I bind up the spirit of confusion. I bind up the spirit of pitting. I bind up the spirit of envy, jealousy, hatred, everything that is not of God. I stand on God's word. I stand on peace, love, compassion, prosperity, goodwill, good health. Everything God stands for. God, I thank you for ministry training. I thank you for biblical teaching. I thank you, God, for clarity that we are reliving the Bible. I thank you, God, for the last lesson on Micah and the current lesson on Nahum. I thank you, God, to know that during biblical times we had reformers, we had human rights advocates, we had people that felt a scourge against oppression, that felt a compelling advocacy to work against people that want to make people oppressed. Heavenly Father, we saw it in the Old Testament, and we're seeing it now today. And we thank you, God, for praying people that come together that have that inner feeling that this corruption that's existing, the induced poverty, the income lynching, job mobbing, electronics torture, electronic stalking, medical errors, genocide, eugenics, all of the scientific obstructions, all of this stuff, God, at a higher level existed previously in the past, in the Old Testament. And God, you were the answer then, and you are the answer now, Heavenly Father. And you led your people. The key area is to have your people, God, line up to the assignment that you've put them here on this earth. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to line up each and every praying person with the assignment that you put them on this earth, God, to complete that assignment effectively, to let the devil know he's a liar. And God, give each and every one of us the power, the authority that the Bible tells us we have, God, over demon forces, to let the devil know that he is a profound liar, that he has no authority on our lives, he has no authority over us, and that, God, we declare and decree that you are all sovereign, that you are the Most High God, and that your protection, that your sovereignty will reign over our lives. God, let us leave this lesson with information and knowledge we did not have previously. We give you all the praise, Heavenly Father. We give you the glory, Heavenly Father. We ask you, God, for divine protection over this week. We ask you, God, for divine protection over our loved ones, our children, our babies, and particularly the vulnerable ones, our elders, our seniors. I ask you, God, for special coverage over my mother as these demons try to assault her to get to me. I ask you, God, to cover her from head to toe in the name of Jesus. I ask you, God, for coverage over Ann's mother, Amy's mother, all the elders, Heavenly Father. I ask you, God, for just yield them, keep them, Heavenly Father. Give the spirit to let them know when danger's coming near them to make a U-turn. God, we praise you. We give you glory. And we thank you, God, for you being God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're looking at the book of Nahum. And just a summary on Nahum. Who is Nahum? The book of Nahum is a prophetic book. The prophet Nahum wrote it approximately 663 to 612 BC, just before the fall of Nineveh in 612 BC. Nahum was raised up to preach God's judgment for a second time to Nineveh. Jonah was the first about 120 years earlier. Its purpose is to pronounce the final warning and judgment upon Nineveh, and he also addresses the rest of the Assyrian Empire. They returned to wickedness shortly after they repented back in Jonah's day. They would neglect Nahum and his message. Within 50 years, Nineveh would be completely decimated and utterly wiped from the face of the earth. In chapter 1, Nahum warns of judgment, and describes the awesome power of God. Mountains quake because of him and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. He then goes on to encourage a hope for the southern kingdom because of the coming judgment of Nineveh. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and likewise many, even so they will be cut off and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no longer. Chapters 2 and 3, Nahum predicts the annihilation of Nineveh, and it will come about that all who see you will shrink from you and say, Nineveh is devastated. Who will grieve for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? It was damaged so severely that it was lost in time. It wouldn't be until the 19th century that the remains of Nineveh would be identified. So that's just a summary, and let's take a look at an outline. The destruction of Nineveh is decreed in chapter 1 of Nahum. Chapter 1 talks about the general principles of divine judgment, God's vengeance in judgment, God's power in judgment, the destruction of Nineveh, and deliverance of Judah. In chapter 2, it goes into the destruction of Nineveh. It talks about the call to battle, and it talks about the destruction of Nineveh. Chapter 3 goes a little further into the destruction of Nineveh, and it explains how it is deserved. It explains the reasons for the destruction of Nineveh, chapters 3, verses 1 through 11. Nineveh's great ungodliness. They give a comparison of Nineveh to Noamin. They discuss the destruction of Nineveh, which is inevitable. Then it goes into Nineveh's strongholds are weak. Nineveh's leaders are weak. What is the Christ of Nahum? In the book of Nahum, how do we align it with Christ? While there are no direct messianic prophecies in Nahum, the divine attributes in Nahum 1, verses 2 to 8, are consistent with Christ's work as the judge of the nations in his second advent. The keys to Nahum, the key words, the judgment of Nineveh. If ever a city deserved the title, here to stay, Nineveh was that city. The great city appeared invincible, but into the scene steps Nahum, a prophet of God's judgment, to declare that Nineveh will fall. Less than half a century later, the prediction of God's spokesman comes true as the great city topples before the Babylonian onslaught, never again to be rebuilt. The key verses are Nahum 1, verse 7 and 8, Nahum 3, verses 5 to 7. The key chapter is Nahum 1. The first chapter of Nahum records the principles of divine judgment resulting in the decrees of the destruction of Nineveh and the deliverance and celebration of Judah. Beginning with chapter 1, the single thrust of Nahum's prophecy is the retribution of God upon the wickedness of Nineveh. Nineveh's judgment is irreversibly decreed by the righteous God, who will no longer delay his wrath. Assyria's arrogance and cruelty to other nations will come to a sudden end. Her power will be useless against the mighty hand of Yahweh. Nahum 1, verses 2 to 8, it portrays the patience, the power, the holiness, and justice of the living God. He is slow to wrath, but God settles his accounts in full. The book concerns the downfall of Assyria, but it is written for the benefit of the surviving kingdom of Judah. Israel had already been swallowed by Assyria. The people in Judah who trust in God will be comforted to hear of God's judgment upon the proud and brutal Assyrians. Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. Survey of Nahum. When God finally convinces his prophet Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh, the whole city responds with repentance, and Nineveh escapes destruction. So Jonah was the first prophet that was preaching there, and some people did repent, and some did not. So they did escape disaster. The people humbled themselves before the one true God, but their humility soon changes to arrogance as Assyria reaches its zenith as the most powerful empire in the world. About a century after the preaching of Jonah, God calls Nahum to proclaim the coming destruction of Nineveh. This time there will be no escape because their measure of wickedness is full. Unlike Jonah, Nahum does not go to the city but declares his oracle from afar. There is no hope of repentance. Nineveh's destruction is decreed. It is described and deserved. The destruction of Nineveh is decreed. It's in chapter 1. Nahum begins with a very clear description of the character of Yahweh. Because of his righteousness, he is a God of vengeance. God is also, God is also characterized by patience, Nahum 1, verse 3, and power. He is gracious to all who respond to him, but those who rebel against him will be overthrown. God is holy, and Nineveh stands. God is, characterized by patience and power. He is gracious to all who respond to him, but those who rebel against him will be overthrown. Nahum 1:7. God is holy, and Nineveh stands condemned because of her sins. Nothing can stand in the way of judgment. And this is a message of comfort to the people of Judah. The threat of Assyrian invasion will soon be over. The destruction of Nineveh is described in chapter 2. Assyria will be conquered, but Judah will be restored. Nahum's description of the siege of Nineveh and the sack of Nineveh is one of the most vivid portraits of battle in Scripture. The storming warriors and chariots can almost be seen as they enter the city through a breach in the wall. That's what the enemy does. It puts holes in the walls of protection. That's like the legal system now. Those are our walls of protection, it's supposed to be. And when you put holes in it, you put corruption in it. That's how the enemy takes over. So, they're just practicing from Old Testament. As the Ninevites flee in terror, the invading army plunders the treasures of the city. Nineveh is burned and cut off forever. The destruction of Nineveh is deserved. That's in Nahum 3, talks about why that destruction was deserved. Nahum closes his brief book of judgment with God's reasons for Nineveh's coming overthrow. The city is characterized by cruelty and corruption, just like today. Cruelty and corruption. Just as Assyria crushed the Egyptian capital city of Telep, Assyria's capital city will also be destroyed. Nineveh is fortified so well that defeat seems impossible, but God proclaims that its destruction is inevitable. None of its resources can deter divine judgment. The historical setting. Little is known about Nahum. His name means compassionate or full of comfort. The date of his prophecy is shortly before the fall of Nineveh. As Jonah's warning, so this book addresses Nineveh, prophesying her destruction. Many scholars consider this to be a sequel to Jonah. It would appear that the Assyrians, after their repentance at the preaching of Judah, soon relapsed into gross idolatry. They plundered other nations, and their capital became as a lion's den full of prey. Thus, the book is to pronounce the divine vengeance upon the bloody city and to console Judah with promises of future deliverance. Synopsis. Chapter 1 is a vision of the majesty and invincible power of Jehovah, who will break the yoke of the Assyrians and deliver Judah. Chapter 2, a dramatic description of the siege of Nineveh. And chapter 3 is a woe pronounced upon the bloody city and her complete ruin foretold. God's character revealed. There are two sides to the character of God. These two sides are perfectly consistent and harmonious. He will show himself gentle and compassionate, and at other times he is stern in his justice, inflicting punishment upon evil, visiting the crimes of men with tribulation and anguish, which is due. God is consistent, stable, immutable, even though he may speak with thunder or in a still small voice. God cannot help acting differently toward different classes of men who show different moods and conditions of the soul. When the penitent heart weeps bitterly over sin, he must, of necessity, reveal his mercy and love. When souls are proud and willful and steadfast in their iniquity, he can only be severe and just as a consuming fire. He would not be God, holy and upright, if he did not. God's own children would breathe easier once their oppressor is away. So it was with the Assyrians in Israel and Judah. Very frequently, mercy and justice are in reality synonymous terms. Nahum shows us that. It is not a book to deal with Israel or Judah, having no direct reference to them. It is concerned only with the fate of Nineveh, the proud capital city of Assyria. Okay. Yeah, this is why they're called the minor prophets, because they're short. And that's it. I have to look into the quizzes with three of these together, so I got to pull out the questions that relate to Nahum. So let's take a look at the quiz. Excuse me. I think that would be 8, 9, 10. Okay. Well, we did Micah last night, so I'll just... We didn't do Habakkuk. Micah. Let's do Micah. Habakkuk. When is Habakkuk? I wonder... Let me see. Habakkuk. If Habakkuk is... we're going to do the quiz together. Let's see. Micah was... Not in Habakkuk, notable passage of Micah. This is all Habakkuk. Very frequently, mercy and justice in reality. Mercy and justice are in reality synonymous terms, true or false. We just did that. Mercy and justice are in reality synonymous terms, true or false. Anybody? I'm going to say, let me see if anybody see how it's talk shifting. God's grace and mercy is what has brought us through. Where is the talk shift? Okay, there you go. Let's see, where are you? Okay, the recording's still on, so that's good. I lost my... Okay, I used to always get a talk show with people. They're not here tonight, but that's okay. My talk show in a second. Make sure my tape's on. Okay. All right, so God, let's see. The key words, many scholars. Okay, I'll go backwards. Key words of Nahum. Oh, good. They were the questions. All right. There are four direct messianic, let's see, the single thrust of Nahum's prophecy. All right, let's see, Micah. See, I didn't do, they put Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk together. So I'm trying to pull out just Nahum, which is a little difficult. Habakkuk, okay. There are four direct messianic prophecies in Nahum. Let me see. There are four direct Messianic. I don't remember reading that. I'm going to put that as false. Good. False is correct. Good. All right. The next one. A notable, no, keywords of mayhem. The judgment of Nineveh. True or false? That is definitely, going to say true. The judgment of Nineveh is correct. Okay. Many scholars consider Nahum to be a sequel to Jonah. That is indisputably true. That is true is correct. Excellent. Very frequently, mercy and justice are in reality synonymous terms. Anybody wants to answer that? Very frequently, mercy and justice are in reality synonymous terms. And I'm going to put true for that. Mercy and justice are synonymous terms. That is true. Great. Nahum's description of the siege of Nineveh and the sack of Nineveh is one of the most vivid portraits of battle in Scripture. I think, yeah, they did say that. I don't know who. Yes, true, correct. Good. God is consistent, stable, immutable, even though he may speak with thunder on a small voice. That is true. True is correct. Excellent. God proclaims that its destruction is inevitable, that none of its resources can deter divine judgment. That is, I'm going to put true. True is correct. Good. Okay. All right. So, yes, I had to pick out my little Nahum questions, and that was it. When we take the exam, it'll be on Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. So we will be doing Habakkuk. Oh, wonderful. I'm glad I was able to keep on with Blog Talk Radio. Lisa, I'm glad you stayed. I wish you would have participated. Any comments, anybody? Mark, any comments? Ann, any comments? Lisa, any comments? Anybody? I think people are just tired. Okay. We're going to close out there. And again, Nahum was just a great prophet that came behind Jonah. His targeted area was Nineveh, and he was there to warn the people about the upcoming judgment for their wicked ways. They had, you know, Old Testament shows, they had the same type of horrific corruption and oppression and just people, evil. Evil's been here a long time. And God used his prophets to warn people that this would not last forever. I think when I'm seeing here, boy, you just have to have patience. I mean, in some of these stories, it took 100 years. I would know it takes 100 years for eugenics to be dealt with. Eugenics, job mobbing, blacklisting, induced poverty, you know, 100 years for something I'm talking about now, and I got to be gone, dead in my grave, you know, to see that it's corrected. I don't think it's, you know, my personal opinion shouldn't take that long, but if it's not on me, you know, God created this earth, and as the Bible tells us, he's always given mercy. I guess he could have put judgment on this earth and we'd all be gone, but he's given people a chance to correct the situation because we are his creations. And I think what's key is that we complete the assignment he put on our life, each one of us, to do what we can do to curtail that evilness and bind it up, not just in prayer only, but in our actions. So I thank God for each and every person that is working towards, you know, human rights, advocacy, biblical teaching, biblical living on this earth, because it's needed. These demons have usurped governance structures and infiltrated it with a reversal of biblical teaching. If you look at some of the laws they're trying to pass, if it's in contravention to what the Bible teaches, is in there. So these people know what they're doing, and that's what Satanists do. So we just thank God for people on the other side that are fighting to counteract these criminal usurpations that are going on, particularly over our government structures. So with that being said, that's the book of Nahum, our prophet Nahum. He was an advocate for justice, and he was warning the people about the coming judgment because of the evil. They were getting very evil and proud, the people in Nineveh. In fact, they had everything going on at one time. So, which means they probably forgot God, and God said, we have to correct that. So, with that being said, may you be blessed. May you have an awesome week. We just give you, God, all the praise, the glory. We continue to just say thank you, God, for being an awesome God. Thank you, God, for just being a great God. Thank you, God, for this week we have coming before us. And, God, as I walk into some dangerous territories with a needed situation, I ask for your divine protection and coverage because I know you're all sovereign. God, I give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you, God, for all the praying people. I ask you to bless our brother Mark, bless our sister Ann, Delisa, her family, each one of our bloodlines. May you protect each and every one of us, my nieces, my nephews, my cousins. I ask you, God, to cover them. Cover our bloodlines, each one of us, Heavenly Father, from head to toe. And don't let the devil have his way in any of our bloodlines' lives. Bless our children and our children's children, God. And let them be men and women of God, honoring you and living out the torch of righteousness, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, for wisdom and knowledge. We thank you, God, for biblical teaching, biblical analogies, biblical outlines that we can survey and critically analyze and just see, wow, we're living a scripted vision from the Old Testament. And God, let each one of us strive to leave a book on this earth that can give the testament of how God has erupted miracles in the